Hello, Indiana 4-H families, and welcome to Barn Chatter. Barn Chatter is a podcast series focused on the 4-H animal science projects. My name is Aaron Fisher, and I am a 4-H extension specialist with Purdue University. Today, Barn Chatter will focus on tips for avoiding heat stress with your 4-H livestock project animals. In today's episode, we are joined by Dr. John Townsend. Dr. Townsend is a clinical assistant professor and director of extension programs in the College of Veterinary Medicine at Purdue University, and he is here to discuss best management practices for avoiding heat stress with show animals throughout the summer. Now it's on to the chatter. Hi, Dr. Townsend. Welcome to Barn Chatter. Please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your background.
Hi, Aaron. So my name is Dr. John Townsend. I'm Assistant Clinical Professor of Dairy Production Medicine here at the College of Veterinary Medicine at Purdue. I grew up on a small farm in the state of Maine where we had dairy cows and beef cows and draft horses and a little bit of everything. Got my Bachelor of Science degree in 1991 from the University of Maine and then graduated from veterinary school at Auburn University in 1995. Since then, I've been in private practice for about 3 years in New York State, where I did mixed animal practice, primarily dairy work. Then came here to Purdue in 1998, did a PhD in ruminant nutrition, and did a dairy production medicine residency here at the College of Veterinary Medicine. I served as a technical services dairy nutritionist for about 7 years in Michigan, then came back here to Purdue University in 2010, where my current job.
Okay, thank you for joining us today. Is temperature the only measure of heat that I should be worried about? What about humidity and other factors?
So, Aaron, that's a really great question. So we tend to think of temperature as the biggest indicator of heat stress, but really what we need to think about is humidity as well. So we think about a temperature-humidity index, so a combination of factors of both the temperature, the dry bulb temperature, and the humidity. So as humidity goes up, it makes the conditions worse for the animal, even though the temperature stays the same. So it's a combination of both that we have to consider.
What are these signs of heat stress, and are they different depending on the species of animal?
So the signs of heat stress will vary somewhat depending on the type of animal. Some animals are a lot more at risk for heat stress than others. So pigs and cattle are more at risk than maybe goats or sheep for experiencing heat stress. As we look for signs of heat stress, we should think about the respiratory rate. That'll be a good indicator. So they'll start breathing faster. You'll see those animals starting to pant versus having a normal respiratory pattern. And additionally, if you have the ability to take a temperature, you'll actually see their core body temperature goes up too. So as you take a rectal thermometer and take a rectal temp, a lot of times those animals will be at least 2 degrees above their normal temperature. So if, like for a dairy cow, we're thinking like 102, 102 and a half is their upper range of normal, you're starting to see temperatures like 104 degrees. And so those are animals that are experiencing heat stress.
Are some species more susceptible to heat stress than other species?
So good question. Definitely there are some species that are more at risk for heat stress. And we tend to think of cattle and swine or pigs as probably our most at-risk animals. Sheep and goats from our typical county fair, state fair type of animals are going to be less risk than those cattle and those pigs.
Are there measures that I can do to prevent or at least limit heat stress in my animal?
There are a lot of things you can do as an animal exhibitor to help reduce the effects of heat stress in those animals. Number one, we should be thinking about getting air movement across the backs of those animals and across the bodies of those animals. So getting the use of fans and moving air is very important. So we probably should get the air moving to at least 4 to 6 miles per hour past them, or even a little bit faster in warm temperatures or even hotter temperatures. Beyond that, we should start thinking about trying to get those animals some degree of evaporative cooling. So we actually wet them down before we allow the fans to blow across them. So easier to do in some animals, some species than others. Obviously, a little bit more difficult to do in sheep because of the lanolin and the wool, and more difficult to do in beef cattle because they have the long hair. But it's really important to try to get that water on the backs of those animals, maybe potentially even across the heads of those animals, and really tend to soak them down, not just mist them, but actually soak those animals down really well, down to the skin, and then blow air across them. So that's going to help out a lot. And as we look at other things to do, we should probably also make sure we're doing a good job with water availability. So in addition to fans and wetting those animals down. Make sure they have plenty of water to drink. Good, clean, cold water, cool water to drink. Water consumption probably is going to go up 50 to 100% in hot temperatures. So we really need to have that water availability for those animals.
So what are some things that I could do if I get to the show and my animal just doesn't want to drink the water there?
So we'll see this every year that we deal with our county and state fairs, is that animals are not used to the water that's there. It might be chlorinated, it might be town water, those type of things just taste different to them. And that's something we have to think about ahead of time. So one of the things you can do is have a different electrolyte solutions that might be able to mask the different flavors of the waters. Probably should try to get those animals adapted to the electrolyte water ahead of time so they're kind of used to that flavor. But that can help mask flavors and off taste to those animals and keep them drinking a lot better. Sometimes we also do it in extreme conditions. Sometimes if the show is close enough, we can actually bring water from the home farm and use that as the drinking water for animals and keep them on our water consumption. Along with that, we kind of tend to see some times of trying to manage weight in some animals by managing the amount of water that's available for those animals. And so while I understand that, we probably really need to be careful about not restricting water, especially in times of heat stress, that'll put those animals at risk for health conditions. And really that's what the animal needs. And so the body is asking for more water to stay healthy, and it will balance that water balance out within that body of that animal, either by urinating more or by sweating more, those type of things. So we really need to make water available for those animals and not think about managing weight through water restriction.
If I notice that my animal is in heat stress, what can I do to quickly lower the temperature?
Great question. So we run into that every summer of kind of emergency situations. First thing would be to get your animal to a wash rack, to an area where we can get good cool water running across the backs of those animals and potentially across the head of the animal. Hopefully with kind of the access to a fan at the same time, so we can help cool them down and we start lowering the temperature quickly. If it gets more emergency situations, we can actually use alcohol baths. So especially in small animals, we'll actually use alcohol as a veterinarian to spread across the back of those animals, because that actually has more evaporative cooling capacity than just water. In really severe conditions, we actually will use cold water enemas. So actually trying to cool the bodies down by infusing water into that animal. IV fluids can also be used. Those are things that obviously, hopefully the veterinarian on call can help you out with. Probably the first step too would be just to, again, just get those animals to a place where we can get cool water running across them, continually running across them, and some access to fans.
We've talked primarily about what to do when we were at a show or sale or something like that. What about during transportation to or from a show? What are some of the things we need to be thinking about then?
Great question. That's the area we really deal with every summer, that animals that get stressed out just during their transportation to and from the fairs. So number one is thinking about, can we transport those animals there at a cool time of the day? So trying to get to the fair at early time or later time in the day, so they're not spending as much time on the trailer. That might be a hot situation. So just trying to think, that's probably number one. On those trailers, also think about trying to provide water availability and then maybe additional fans actually running on those trailers to provide some cool capacity for those animals as they're being trailed to and from the fair. So those are kind of the things I would tend to concentrate on.
Is there a point where it might be best to choose not to even show the animal?
You know, it's a really tough decision to make, because a lot of our exhibitors have put a lot of time and effort into getting their animals ready to show. But if we're really thinking about those animals and putting them first, there are times when we really need to just consider best for the animal and not show them, not take them, put them through the potential stress of heat stress, the long trailer rides that might be happening during a hot time of the day, during high humidity. Might be just best to leave them behind, especially if they've shown any ill effects leading up to the fair. So if they've had some respiratory illness ahead of time, maybe they're not totally tip-top shape anyway, we probably don't want to put them through the stress of a trailer ride. And it's probably best for them just to stay home and try to be a healthy animal at home.
Thank you, Dr. Townsend, for joining us today and providing many helpful hints for avoiding heat stress with our 4-H show animals. I encourage everyone to remember your animal's well-being when participating in livestock shows and sales. Remember that if you own animals, the general public will consider you a livestock producer. If you are the only one they ever interact with, you could be the reason for their good or bad perception of animal ag. Please be a good representative. For more information about the Indiana 4-H program, please visit extension.purdue.edu. www.bcc.edu/4H. I look forward to you joining us next time for more Barn Chatter.